Here's what's coming up on today's show.
So you just have to be aware of when you take that money out, how the tax are going to apply, and what happens if you leave it to the next generation and what their tax rate may look like.
Welcome to the Retirement Cafe with certified financial planners Dan Reese and Brent Oliver. At our cafe, we believe your retirement plan should be life-giving and custom-made, just like a hot cup of coffee. Here in mid-Michigan, with an office in Jackson, the Retirement Cafe is open for business.
Well, hello and welcome in to the Retirement Cafe. I'm Ben George along with Dan Reese and Brent Oliver, certified financial planners at Avery Wealth. You'll find them online at averywealth.com. And you can always call 517-783-1695. Glad to have you on the show today, though. We got a really good one talking taxes. And we're going to talk about five tax gotchas in retirement. So if you are close to retirement and if you've been a good saver, your retirement accounts actually can create some tax issues for you. Not only for you, though, but also for your heirs as well. So as the old Morgan Stanley advertisement used to say, you must pay taxes, but there's no law that says you've got to leave a tip. Welcome in, Dan Reese and Brent Oliver. Why do you guys think this topic is so important for us to discuss today?
Well, I mean, no one wants to give a tip to the IRS, right? And I think that's, I mean, that is the problem, is that a lot of, you'll find that that's happening over and over again. And a lot of people are proud of their wealth. You know, I mean, a lot of people have really worked hard their entire life to save for retirement or other goals that they have, and they've sacrificed a lot. And, you know, we just want to help educate people and make sure that they're making good decisions.
Yeah, I mean, really, the thing that's so hard is that saving is actually not that it's easy to do, because obviously you make sacrifices to save, but it's very straightforward. You put in a pre-tax account, you get a tax break, they sell it as the greatest thing ever. But what a lot of people don't foresee is if they've done all that, when they get to the other end and they start taking money out, that all that tax becomes due, right?
Right.
And so we think it's really important that people understand you're not just stuck,
yeah.
You know, but you need to be aware that that can be an issue.
And it's, I mean, it's totally those two phases in life, right? When you're accumulating the money and then when you're taking the distributions out, they're totally different,
yeah.
From a tax standpoint. And so it's really important that you understand a lot of the issues that we're going to talk about today. And I think that's another part of it. The saddest part is that a lot of people just aren't aware, mm-hmm. of what awaits them. Right?
Yeah,
you know, it's like, oh man, I'm in a great spot. I've been a great saver. Well, that's awesome.
Yeah.
But what's going to happen to your nest egg when the IRS starts calling?
Yeah, there is starting to be a little bit more information out there. We see many younger families like using Roth options on 401ks and different things. So it's starting to get out there, but the problem is the people that are approaching retirement now didn't even have those tools for most of their life.
Well, great. And as we get into this today, before we get to the five gotchas, who's most at risk to be a victim of these?
Yeah, good savers.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think anyone who has, you know, really worked at saving is a possible victim. But really, people with over $2 million in pre-tax savings, so they've deferred the tax on, those are things like traditional IRAs, 401ks, 403bs, they really face some significant challenges
when
they begin to take distributions.
Yeah, the way I like to kind of explain this is that, so let's just take a simple thing. Let's say your money on average doubles every 10 years to make it simple. So if somebody had, you know, they retired at 62, well, if they're not taking much money out, by the time they're 72, that $2 million could be four.
Right.
And, you know, and then all of a sudden, as we get into required distributions, we'll talk about, point is that if you've got a bucket of money you have not paid taxes on, every time it grows, your tax bill increases.
Exactly. So any of those types of accounts, we've talked about that before on this show, if you have those pre-tax accounts like we just talked about, the government owns a portion of that money and a portion of the future growth of that account. So as that account is compounding, you're compounding your tax situation as well.
Yeah, and the last part about it is really anybody that's interested in, you know, leaving some of these assets to family, we're going to talk about that. There can be some issues there that we want to make sure you're aware of.
All right, well, let's get into it then. What is that first tax gotcha in retirement that families need to watch out for?
So the first one is that RMDs, which is required minimum distributions, are for life. Mm-hmm. Right. And what that means to me is just basically that once you get to that age where you have to start taking money out, you can't really change it. Right. It's very difficult to make any improvements after that point.
Yeah, it's scary because like Brent and I love to take like if you do nothing standpoint first and start running out numbers. And we use even conservative assumptions, but you know what it shows is that oftentimes people don't understand that if they took out money ahead of time or early on, how much it can help them later. And so they leave it, and then they get there, and it's almost to this point of no return.
Right.
Because you're at 72 or 73, and you've got your full Social Security, you've got maybe a pension, you've got whatever else coming in, and then you throw on top of it this required minimum distribution that you don't even want.
Right.
You don't even need it, right? So like it's just like this, it's frustrating.
Yeah. And we always talk about that as the tax ticking time bomb,
yeah.
Right? And so when you're deferring something, you're just putting it off. Like, oh, I'll pay the taxes on that later. I'll pay them on it later. And if you really think about that, it just like everything else in life, when you just kind of, oh, I'll go on a diet like next week or mm-hmm. I'll start exercise, you know, like, and you just keep delaying that. What happens? Like, it usually blows up in your face. And that's really what we're talking about here is that tax ticking time bomb is going to explode at some point, and you're going to pay greatly if you don't take care of it.
Yeah. And I mean, really, so when those required distributions begin, it doesn't seem like a lot, but it ends up being about 4% your first year, just keep easy math. So let's say you had that $2 million pre-tax account. That's $80,000 on top of your other income that's more than likely getting into some pretty high tax rates.
Right. And so as time goes on, that increase continues to go up. So by the time you're 85 years old, you're taking 6.25% of that account out.
Mm-hmm.
And so that number, and granted, you probably those accounts have grown through that period of time if all you're doing is taking out your required minimum distribution. So now instead of taking that amount out, you're taking on a higher account value, a higher percentage.
Yeah.
And it just keeps magnifying itself.
It can get ugly. We've run plenty of illustrations on it, and it's shocking how much money. One of the things that's really interesting to see, and it's just the power of compounding. I have a brother that's a certified financial planner too, and I remember him years ago doing this chart, and it showed like your balance at retirement, and then it showed how much you took out over your lifetime, and then it showed how much was left. And so it actually showed how much total money you paid tax on versus how much you started with.
Yeah.
And it was like, whoa. I mean,
yeah,
maybe triple, quadruple. And now the money that at the end would be at your kids, but you know the point I'm getting at.
Right.
It's shocking.
Yeah.
So it's good to understand that stuff for sure.
And so, look, we're not, all of these, we're not telling you to scare you. We just want you to have a good thought out plan. And so one of the ways to remedy this is just to make sure that you're thinking about a distribution plan way before you're forced to start taking that. And if you're strategically doing that, first of all, you're going to be way farther ahead. It doesn't, even if it's not perfect, just thinking about that this is going to occur and trying to figure out ways to not have that happen is going to put you way ahead.
Yep, absolutely. Those little things over and over again, being proactive, just, I mean, they have a monumental effect long term. And that's what we're trying to get across, as Brent said.
All right, great starting point. What's the second tax gotcha then waiting for retirees?
Yeah, this one has to do with, this goes back to what were referred to as a Trump tax cuts and Job Acts of 2017. Wasn't forever.
Right? No, that unfortunately, well, who knows? You never know what tax, I mean, maybe it's not even unfortunately. Maybe the tax rates will go down. I doubt it, but who knows? But at the end of 2025 is when that tax legislation sunsets. And if it's allowed to do so, then tax rates will go back to what they were before that, which were higher.
Yeah, yeah. And it affects pretty much everybody. Like the rates are higher pretty much across the board. And so as an example, if you had a family with $300,000 in income under the current tax tables, they'd be in what's called the 24% marginal rate. And all that means is what's the top rate they're into. You know, so the next dollar of income is taxed at 24% in essence. But the old rate was actually 33%.
Right. So that, I mean, that's a huge 9% difference on your top dollar. So you're in all the levels below that are higher as well. So you'd be paying quite a bit more in tax. So it's really important if you're approaching that timeline that you're aware that you may not be doing it at today's rates. You may be doing it at some, who knows what they will be, but they probably will be higher. And on top of that, there's another piece to this is that everyone has a lifetime exemption of how much they can give away, whether they're alive or dead, right? And that's over $12 million right now that somebody could do in their lifetime. And that if this tax legislation sunsets and goes away, that would be cut in half as well.
Yeah.
So it's really a big piece that everyone should be aware of with a retirement income plan.
Yeah. I mean, it's funny. A couple of quick things I want to note. So that $300,000 example, that 9% increase, this isn't on all of it. This is very simplified, but the reality, that's like $27,000. Yeah. I mean, it's more complicated than that.
Yeah.
But the point we're getting at is that, you know, those differences can be pretty major.
Yeah, it's not a slight difference.
No, and then, you know, the other thing is the remedy here really is understand what's happening, right? So this year, 24 and 25 are your last chances really to know what the, I mean, I say no, they could change tax rules anytime, but without changes, you kind of know what's happening and you need to take advantage of that. So you need to be aware of what they are. If you can do some proactive things in that period of time, you can help out your situation.
Yeah, as the old saying goes, change is the only constant in life. And I suppose that applies to the tax code as well. So let's move on to number three then. What's the third tax gotcha?
Well, this one is something that I think a lot of people are not aware of and don't think through, but you have to be aware of the widow penalty.
Yeah.
Right? So what that means is if one of the spouses passes away, you go from married filing jointly status of when you file your tax return to filing as a single taxpayer. And that's very, very punitive for your level of income.
Yeah, the brackets change tremendously. Actually, I'm looking at the brackets. So as an example, you know, from like income of like $22,000 to $89,000, if you're married, you're in the 12% bracket, right? If you look at the single bracket, you've only got up to $44,000 to be in that bracket.
Yeah.
And so it's a, you know, and, you know, there's lots of other things like you lose part of your standard deduction. Well, you know, standard deduction married's like $27,700. Singles like $13,850. So like you lose all that. So the deduction, really the standard deduction, is in essence tax-free income. So you lose tax-free income and then your tax brackets change.
Right. Yeah.
So it's like it can be really painful.
And so we're talking about the level of income and where that falls on that tax bracket. And it's really important to know that just when one spouse dies, it's not like your income gets cut in half either, typically speaking. So this can vary greatly, but about 90% of the income remains in most households. But that income is just subject to a much, much higher tax rate, which is the big problem that you're referring to, Dan.
We hear it all the time. I had a lady in this morning that is widowed, and she just got her taxes done, and she just, her comment was, it's amazing how much person like me has to pay in taxes.
Yeah.
Because she's not a really high income earner. You know what I mean?
Right.
But
and it would be way less if she was married filing jointly, right? And so that's a big problem. And it's not the only problem either, because there's other things that come into play here. So IRMA or Medicare surcharges can really, really have a big impact on, in a lot of ways, it's a tax, right? That's what it is.
Yeah, for sure. It's a higher premium based on your total income for Medicare.
Right. So as your income increases, the amount that you pay for Medicare will increase as well. So like consider two different households. So say they have income of $225,000, right? If one of those households is married filing jointly and the other one is a single filer, the married filing joint couple would pay $6,000 in IRMA Medicare surcharges combined, right? $6,000. The single filer with that same level of income, $225,000, would pay $7,380.
Yeah, they're paying more for one.
They pay more for one person than you would for two at the same level of income.
Yep, it's very punitive for sure. And, you know, the reality is like, this stuff, we have all these numbers. So like the remedy for a lot of this, again, you can't always plan for it. There's certain things that are going to happen, especially if you lose a spouse, but you can be aware of it because there are things you can do ahead of time to, you know, make sure that you have more flexibility when one person passes away. You know, things like Roth conversions and building up, you know, tax-free assets to pull income from, you know, letting the higher income earner go till 70 for Social Security. You know, there's things like
that. Right, because that's what I was just going to say as you were saying that, is if you're using, again, this isn't advice because everybody's unique and different,
Sure.
But if you put off Social Security and you use some of your own tax-deferred savings for a period of time, you don't have Social Security, and now you're taking distributions from, say, an IRA, your income's going to be lower. That also lowers the future value of that account, which makes you have to take less money. And so there's a lot of different strategies that you can do to control and give yourself flexibility and options so that this doesn't happen.
I'm sure that widow penalty is often missed in tax planning, so something to think about. All right, fourth retiree tax gotcha we want to discuss.
Yeah, the fourth one is to reconsider leaving a large IRA to your children, because one of the things that happened with the SECURE Act in 2019 is that when someone inherits an IRA, for the majority of people, we're going to keep it simple because there's some, with all this stuff, there's some of these little caveats that could apply.
Anytime you're talking about taxes, there's a lot of different rules, or the government.
Yeah,
for
but
sure.
Generally, they have 10 years to take that money out, right? And so you think about that, like, oh, that's awesome. We're going to, you know, they've got 10 years. Well, what are some of the challenges with that?
Well, one of the biggest challenges that oftentimes when people, like when your parent passes away, a lot of those people are in their prime earning years, right?
Yeah.
So they might be in their 50s or when their parent reaches the age where they may pass away.
Mm-hmm.
That's obviously not always the case, but that is the case. So if you're in your peak earning years and now you have 10 years to liquidate this account, that's going to generate tax, you're basically just adding all these dollars to your income at the worst possible time.
Yep,
right?
For sure.
And so we're not saying don't leave your money to your kids here, but we're saying, look, if you really want to maximize the inheritance that you're leaving them and your legacy to them, you need to be thinking about this before it happens.
Yep,
right?
Because
they're going to pay. If you didn't pay the taxes, they're going to pay, and they're probably going to pay at a higher tax rate than you ever would.
Yeah, and so, I mean, to remedy it, you got to be aware of that. So, Mike, I'll give a simple example. You might, if you look at your own situation, you might say, shoot, we'd be better off taking a bunch of this money out under our tax bracket, getting it into like tax-free or after-tax money and leaving that to the kids.
Right.
Than we would just waiting, right?
Right.
If that's a goal, right? And, you know, most people would never say, well, I'd never incur tax on purpose, right? But sometimes if your overriding goal is to leave that money to kids, you're going to leave them more money.
Yeah.
After-tax money. So you just have to be aware of when you take that money out, how the tax are going to apply, and what happens if you leave it to the next generation and what their tax rate may look like.
Yeah, and this has changed, right? So Dan talked about it. It used to be that a lot of times you would have your own life expectancy, and now it's changed to this 10-year rule. So it's really important that you're aware of this and that you're taking action to make sure that it doesn't happen to you or your kids.
All right, great. What is the fifth and final retired tax gotcha?
This is my favorite area because everybody hates it. Estate planning.
Yeah.
Right? Because no one wants to talk about estate planning because it makes them think of dying, right?
Right.
But it's getting trickier and trickier for sure.
Yeah. I mean, income taxes aren't the only thing that's become controversial in Congress, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we hit on it a little bit earlier, but the amount of money that you can pass to your heirs is being disputed, right? Like, so
they're fighting about it.
Yep, they're arguing over how much should be allowed to pass on to your heirs.
Yeah, I mean, there's certain people that'll be like, there shouldn't be a limit. If you made it, you got to be able to give it to whoever you want. There's other people that don't think you should be able to give a dime to your family without it being taxed, right? There's extremes. But right now, you know, you've got a very generous lifetime, almost $13 million exclusion that you can give away, which is a ton of money, right? I mean, it's a ton of money. And that's going to expire in end of 2025. And then it's scheduled to go back to 5.49, which would be adjusted for inflation,
yeah,
which is still a decent amount of money. But there's a lot more families that could affect, right?
Yeah, because if it goes down to that, I mean, we talked about somebody having a couple million dollars in pre-tax accounts and their house and all those different things, mm-hmm. right? Well, you fast forward some years down the road, it's not unlikely that that could reach that $6 million or more, right? And so that this can be a real big issue for a lot of the families that we're addressing in this very podcast.
Well, and the thing to remember is it's not just your financial accounts. This is where people get into trouble. They're like, oh, I'm not worth that much. And you're like, okay, start adding up your house. Oh, I've got a cottage. I forgot. You know, that's yeah. worth a little bit of money. I've got a motorhome. Oh, I've got life insurance. It's not the cash value that's counted. It's the death benefit.
Right.
You know, you start adding up all the real estate, bank accounts, death benefit on life insurance, retirement accounts. You'd be surprised how many people would start getting right. into that. Right.
Yeah. And once you're over that limit, whatever that limit is established to be at the time that you pass away, you pay estate tax on the dollars above that.
Yeah. And so, I mean, many times if you understand how to plan for that, you can do better. You know, one of the things that's funny, this is really simple, because we were just talking about taking money out of retirement accounts. Sometimes you're better off, you know, if you're on your deathbed doing a massive Roth conversion and paying all the tax at your rate, because the fact is maybe that gets you under the estate tax limit.
Right.
You know,
yeah,
which you're going to give the money away anyway. Yeah,
exactly.
Well, great information, guys. The five tax gotchas in retirement. Let's close it out with a little recap.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think it's just really important that, I mean, there is a common theme in all of these tax gotchas. Ben, you're the only one who had to say that. That's tricky. So, you know, it's really important to know these different areas and to have a well thought out plan. It's never going to be exactly what you think it's going to be, but just having thought it through and having a strategy to help you overcome some of these areas is really going to help. Required minimum distributions, expiring tax codes, the widow penalty, leaving large IRAs to your children, and inefficient estate plans are really important to address in pre-retirement. Because once you get there and you've already established a plan, a lot of times it's really difficult to undo these things. So just making sure that you have a well thought out plan is really going to help you be successful. And so it's, as always, don't go at this alone. We always recommend that you work with a qualified, certified financial planner. And of course, you know, Dan and I are always here and willing to talk to you if you have questions or concerns, and don't hesitate to reach out.
Yes, don't hesitate to reach out. You can do so by logging on. AveryWealth.com is the website. We put all the podcasts there as well for you. And the phone number, 517-783-1695. Dan and Brett, as always, thanks for your time. And thank you for listening to The Retirement Cafe. We'll have a new episode coming in a couple of weeks. And we'll talk to you then.
Thanks, Ben. Thanks.
Avery Wealth, Inc. is a registered investment advisor registered with the United States Securities and Exchange Commission. Registration as an investment advisor does not imply a certain level of skill or training, and the content of this communication has not been approved or verified by the SEC or by any state securities authority. The information contained in this podcast is intended to provide general information about Avery Wealth and its services. It is not intended to offer investment advice. Investment advice will only be given after a client engages our services by executing the appropriate investment services agreement. Information regarding investment products and services are provided solely to read about our investment philosophy and our strategy. You should not rely on any information provided on our website in making investment decisions. Market data, articles, and other content in this podcast are based on generally available information and are believed to be reliable. Avery Wealth does not guarantee the accuracy of the information contained in this podcast. Avery Wealth will provide all prospective clients with a copy of our current form ADV Part 2A disclosure brochure prior to commencing an advisory relationship. However, at any time, you can view our current form ADV Part 2A at advisorinfo.sec.gov. In addition, you can contact us to request a hard copy.